Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It is so good to be here studying the Word of God from Terrorize Bible Study Daybreak. And last week, she storied the from 1 Kings 17 through 20, the chapters on the story of Elijah.
Yes, Elijah.
Elijah.
It's important we get that right.
It's just beautiful storying, and it just makes it so real. Like it's listening to it rather than just reading it.
It's so awesome. And it's a good story to tell. There's a lot of drama. I have to be real careful because I could like eat the mic. I get so excited about it. So I have to remember that. You know, I love Elijah because in his story, we see everything from huge, miraculous, powerful might of God revealed to a man trembling under a broom bush, grieving and almost depressed. Mm-hmm. You know, we see him calling down fire and killing 450 prophets, yet one woman caused him to run in flight and fright. You know, and I think we see in him the reality of our humanness.
Yes.
And I think that's why I love this story so much, this particular biblical narrative, why it impacts me so much, because the reality is that if we are in a position where we are serving God, we are going to have those moments that we all refer to as the mountaintop experiences.
Right.
And, but the reality is that all of us have to come down the mountain at some point. And one of the things that I found out when I was doing this particular study is that the mountain that he went up on Mount Carmel, or Carmel, depending on how you want to pronounce it, I had a pretty solid theologian tell me once that is a pretty respected researcher and, you know, he writes a lot of the commentaries for the Bible and the Old Testament. He said, if you don't know how to pronounce it, be confident, be loud, and be fast, and nobody will know the difference.
That's fair.
I like that. But one of the things that I learned about Mount Carmel is that according to their tradition in that time, they believed that Mount Carmel was actually the mountain of Baal. And so the
and Baal is another name for the devil, or no?
Well, Baal is the their young god. They had a god that was the god of their land, and he was known as the storm god, the young storm god.
Oh, okay.
He was kind of the male god. Now, the Ashtoreth or Ashtoreth, depending on which translation, I think some of them are like spelled Asherah, and then some of them are spelled Ashtoreth. It has a T, some don't, depending on the translation. That represented the female god that they had. And so that's why you often will see Baal and Asherah. It's because it's the male and the female counterpart, okay?
Okay.
And the whole premise behind what was happening on Mount Carmel, is that he was on their mountain. I mean, there's a lot of symbolism that went into the whole situation. And but before he even gets to the mountain, I found out a couple of things that lead up to, because he is sent to give a message. He is sent to give a message that is not a good message. And in the message is that they are not in obedience to God. And because of their disobedience, God is going to take the rain away. And so there will be a physical drought in the land because spiritually they are already in a drought.
Right.
And he gives the message, and I think it's kind of almost interesting when you look at this particular passage. You have King Ahab over Israel and all these things happening, and then it gives us the king, and then out of nowhere this prophet shows up. There's no introduction to him. He shows up and he gives a word from God. I mean,
that's Obadiah?
No, this would be Elijah.
Oh, okay.
When he shows up, it's just out of blue. I mean, there is no introduction. No, this guy is who he is. I mean, it's just boom. The prophet has given a word and he shows up, and then all of a sudden he's in the scene. And he gives this message and then he disappears for 3.5 years. I mean, for 3.5 years. Now, the fun thing about his disappearance is he goes to two places. He goes to Cherith or Kereth, depending on your translation on how it's spelled. Sometimes it's spelled with the CH, sometimes it's spelled with a KE. And he goes to the Kereth Ravine. At the Kerith Ravine, the word Kerith or Cherith in the original language actually means the place of cutting. And, okay, now I want you to just listen, and I'm going to give you the full measure of both of these because it's pretty important symbolically when we're going to look at what's going to happen as it leads up. It's almost as if God has him for 3.5 years go to places that have the name of what needs to happen with the nation's heart. Okay? Mm. He goes to the Kerith Ravine, and that is the place of cutting. All right, they need to cut out of their hearts that which is not of God. But they have not been willing to do that. And then after the river dries up, God sends him to Zarephath, to the widow. Zarephath actually means the place of smelting and refining. Now, isn't that amazing? The 3.5 years that he is gone, he is at the place of cutting and smelting and refining. And then when he finally shows up, he shows up to one of his fellow believers, Obadiah, a very faithful, godly servant. And Obadiah is, you know, out looking for grass for King Ahab because he is the one that King Ahab trusts over all his palace. Yet he's a devout follower of God. How Obadiah has not been killed, scripture does not give us an explanation, but he's not. And he comes up and he's like, yo, bro. And the brother's like, man, I don't need this. You don't know what you're asking me to tell me. I need to go to the king. This man has been looking for you for 3.5 years. He's going to kill me.
Right.
And for whatever reason, because of God's divine sovereignty, God's protection upon Obadiah, King Ahab, we don't even have even a comment made from scripture to Obadiah. And, you know, it doesn't say anything that happens to Obadiah. It just says, so King Ahab obeys. Elijah shows up and says he wants to see him. And he's been searching for him. He shows up. And he doesn't even show up saying anything huge, big, or bad, you know, as far as, you know, acting like he's going to do anything. He just comes in and says, oh, you troubler of Israel, you're the reason we have all these problems. And Elijah's like, no. I'm not the problem. You are. It's not me. It's you. And it's by allowing these idols of these false, puny little gods, you have so messed with our holy God. I mean, literally, that's what he is saying to him. And in a way, Elijah's drawn a line. And he's putting the line down saying, mm-hmm. If God is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. Because the nation of Israel knows, based on the Ten Commandments,
right,
the reality that they are not to worship any other God.
That's right. Second commandment.
They are worshiping Baal's gods. I mean, it's just crazy.